Upland Bible Church,
Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, 6 April, 2025, Romans.
All right, before we get started this morning, first of all, early in the wee hours this morning, a very beautiful and wonderful lady, a member of our congregation for a long time, went home to be with the Lord. It was Dying Grace. All of you have been blessed by association with Mary Lou. And Deb and I, we've been blessed by association with her. She's one of the merry widows in our church that Deb and I look forward every month to taking them out and taking them to dinner. And they're fantastic. All of you are blessed by association with the merry widows of Upland Bible Church. They are the best of the best. And her granddaughter, Courtney, wrote this, and I want to read this to you. Our beautiful mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, Mary Lou, finished her race and won the prize of being called home this morning to be with the Lord. Although we are truly devastated as a family that she is no longer with us, we find joy in knowing that she is now face to face with Jesus Christ, who was the true love of her life, and that she is also reunited with those she loved so much. My grandmother was a true Proverbs 31 woman. She spoke the gospel to anyone who would listen, brought countless people to church, and many sons into glory, always demonstrating the faith rest life. She had a life well lived, and will be leaving behind a legacy of a family of believers. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ stood up from his seat at the right hand of the Father to welcome her home. Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. And then she adds a P.S. If anyone is missing their sunglasses or keys, please let us know. Mary Lou had a tendency to pick them up and take off with them. And we now have a collection of keys and sunglasses. And if she didn't take yours and you need some, just let them know. No, Mary Lou was the best of the best. And when Deb and I would take the merry widows out, they would always say, well, we're so blessed that you take the time to do this. I said, no. Deb and I, we are the ones who are blessed. And it's been that way the entire time I've been here as pastor of Upland Bible Church. It has been a fantastic blessing to the two of us to take the widows out and do something special with them. A lot of people forget the widows. Well, God tells us not to forget the widows. And I've always wanted to make sure that Deb and I take the time and this church takes the time to put them, pick them up, put them on a pedestal, and have some great special blessings with them. That's the first. She's absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, this is Communion Sunday. There will be a meeting after communion for everyone who wants to participate in Vacation Bible School this summer. We're going to have Vacation Bible School this summer. This would include people who want to help in preparing crafts or helping with games and or crafts or teaching or being a teacher's helper or helping Tim on the cleanup crew. He needs lots of help. So that will be a meeting after the communion service, the second service this morning. And then third, you see, we're not going to have Bible class this morning. Third, Upland Bible Church March Madness. We're going to change this. It's just madness. Forget the March. We're in April anyway. UBC Madness. Here are the top 10. Clay is still in first place with 182 points. My brother Don up in Washington, second at 174. Tex is third, 171. Sherry, who is not here, is 162. If they're not here, we'll just give their money to somebody else. Tim and Dara, 158. Courtney at 153, with Charlie at 153. Oh, you're tied for sixth. Gary at 149. Derek, my son, at 148. Gresha at 146. These are the top 10. Now, there's only one game left. Championship. Tomorrow, championship. If you don't have Houston or Florida, you're done. There are, of these 10, two of them have Florida and three of them have Houston. So there's where the battle is right there. Now, of course, there's also who is going to come in last. Well, I have put just the last one there, but I'm going to put the bottom five. Why? Because I'm in the bottom five. So I'm in the bottom five along with Dave back here and Irene down here and little Jer. He's not here. He didn't want to show up. He's not. And Hunter. And I decided the bottom five, we have a loser hat. Beautiful loser hat. It says loser on it. Cow. It's a cowboy. I guess it's more of a cowgirl hat. But I think we ought to all take turns wearing this. For the next year, I'll wear it first. I might even wear it up here in, at the behind the pulpit when I'm teaching. So there's the bottom five. Oh Lordy, Lordy. Okay, now open your Bibles. Bibles? Did you bring Bibles? Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have exegeted verses 8 and 9 of Romans 8. It sounds like this. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh, that is, under the authority and control of the sin nature, absolutely are not able to please God. And then verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, you're not under the control of the sin nature, but you're in the Spirit. Assuming that the Spirit of God dwells in you, and he does. But if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, God the Holy Spirit, then that one, that the unbeliever, does not belong to God. The unique spiritual life of the church age can only be lived by the grace and power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Apart from the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, there is no pleasing God, there is no attainment of spiritual maturity, there is no virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that's three parts. It includes personal love for God the Father. It includes impersonal love for all mankind. And it includes occupation with Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. All perception and metabolization of Bible doctrine depends on the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and all application of the Word of God that you have in your heart depends on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the difference between frustration and fulfillment of God's plan for your life depends on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Now that brings us to verse 10. And in verse 10, now we have, we're going to have the indwelling of Jesus Christ. This only occurs in this dispensation. We live in the church age. What a great time to be living. We live in the church age. It began at Pentecost. It concludes with the rapture. And there are so many unique blessings to the believer in this dispensation. And one of those fantastic blessings, not only is the universal indwelling of the Spirit unique, unique to you, church age believers, but also the indwelling of Jesus Christ, totally unique to this dispensation. We have that now in verse 10. It starts out in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, we always start with the thundering diction of the King James. And if Christ be in you, this is the postpositive conjunction de, plus the conditional particle ae, plus the nominative singular of Christos, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su. Now the postpositive conjunction de looks like this. And that is used in the emphatic or intensive use of de, and it may be translated indeed or really or in fact. We're going to translate it in fact. And then we have the conditional particle a. looks like that in the Greek. And in the English, ae, it means if. It introduces here a first class condition. If Christ is in you, and he is in you, if you have placed your faith in Christ, if Christ is in you, and he is, and then the preposition and plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su, in you, this is the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ in every church age believer. So, corrected translation, in fact, if Christ is in you, first class condition, and he is at the very moment that you believe in Jesus Christ, and then we have the body is dead because of sin. This is the affirmative particle men, plus the noun soma with a definite article, plus the nominative singular neuter of nekros, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the accusative singular of hamartia. Now we have, who is the human author of Romans? The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was maybe the, he had maybe the greatest mind, the greatest genius ever. And he knew not only Koine Greek, he knew classical Greek, and it, he uses a lot of classical Greek when he writes New Testament scripture. God the Holy Spirit in his inspiration ministry utilized that genius of the Apostle Paul, and he would include these things. We have here something is classic. This is classical Greek. Men, death. Men and death. Now, when you have this, you translate that, men is translated on the one hand, and then you have a clause. And then de introduces, but on the other hand, the second clause. So on the one hand, men, but on the other hand. That's what we have here, and should be translated that way. And then we have the word soma. Looks like that in the Greek, S long O M A, soma, that's the word for the body. And we have that because the body is where the sin nature resides. The sin nature resides in your body. And then we have nekros. N-E-K-R-O-S, nekros. And that is the word that literally, it is the word that means dead. And here it means subject to death. Subject to death. And then dia plus the accusative. Dia plus the accusative means because of, on account of. Hamartia, that's the sin nature. So, corrected translation. In fact, if Christ is in you, first class condition, and he is, on the one hand, the body is subject to death. We are all going to die physical death apart from the rapture. There is going to be one generation that will not die physically. That's the rapture generation. And nobody knows when the rapture is going to occur. It's signless and timeless. The way everything going, it could easily be very close. Maybe you will not die physically. Maybe the rapture will take place. It might take place while I'm teaching. See, there I go. If I go and you're still here, you're screwed. I would take your time and believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior right away. You're going to go through a tough time for 7 years, the Antichrist and everything going on, the tribulation, then the great tribulation. And so it's better just to believe in Christ now, and that way when the rapture happens, you're out of here, see. So In fact, if Christ is in you, first class condition, and he is, on the one hand, the body is subject to death because of the sin nature. You got that? In fact, if Christ is in you, first class condition, and he is, on the one hand, the body is subject to death because of the sin nature. Then we have the next phrase, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now we have the second half of that classical Greek phrase, man and death. On the one hand, but on the other hand. Here is death, but on the other hand. And then we have pneuma, that's the word Spirit, that's God the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, and then zoe, that's the word for life, and then dia plus the accusative once again, because of, but this time because of dikaiosune. Dikaiosune, D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N, long E, dikaiosune. And dikaiosune is the Greek word righteousness, and this is imputed righteousness at salvation. This is justification by faith in Jesus Christ. So the corrected translation, in fact, if Christ is in you, first class condition, and he is, on the one hand, the body is subject to death because of the sin nature. But on the other hand, the Holy Spirit is life because of righteousness, imputed righteousness at the moment of salvation. So let's get a couple of things here. This is a great verse. Romans 8:10, great verse. One, God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Now, the first half of this verse, in fact, if Christ is in you, on the one hand, the body is subject to death. Why is the body subject to death? Because the sin nature resides in the body. That's why we have physical death. But, on the other hand, the Spirit is life. Two, this puts the spotlight on the salvation ministries of God the Holy Spirit. So, God is putting the spotlight on the salvation ministries of God the Holy Spirit. Specifically, the sealing ministry of the Spirit, the regeneration ministry of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, and the indwelling and filling of God the Holy Spirit. So, let's start out. Point three, the sealing ministry of the Spirit. The sealing ministry of the Spirit is the signature guarantee. The signature guarantee that your name remains in the book of life forever. Your name remains in the book of life forever. That's the sealing ministry of the Spirit. The signature guarantee that your name remains in the book of life forever. For point four. At regeneration, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and then God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. You have the gift of eternal life. That's the regeneration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life, the gift of eternal life, to that human spirit. Point five. At the moment we believed in Christ, we received the baptism of the Spirit. the baptism of the Spirit. In other words, God the Holy Spirit took you by the nape of the neck and put you in union with Jesus Christ. Every church-age saint, the moment he believes in Christ, he is baptized by Christ, entered into union with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? That means we share who and what Christ is. Jesus Christ is eternal life. We share his eternal life. Jesus Christ is absolute righteousness. We share his righteousness. So here we are. What blessing. Royal family of God. We're in union with the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. We have a double portion of eternal life and a double portion of God's righteousness. That never happened to occur. There was no universal indwelling of the Spirit in other dispensations of history. There was no indwelling of Jesus Christ. There was no baptism of the Spirit. All of this is unique to us in the church age. We have been so blessed. To whom much is given, much is expected. To whom much is given, much is expected. We have a double portion of eternal life and a double portion of God's righteousness. To whom much is given, much is expected. 6. At the moment you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells your body and he fills your soul. He empowers your soul. So at the moment you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells your body. That's permanent forever. You never lose that. And right at the moment of salvation, he also fills, empowers your soul. That you can lose every time you sin, but you can recover through rebound, 1 John 1:9. So at the moment you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells your body and he fills your soul. 7. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit serves as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit so that you can live the unique spiritual life of the church age. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit serves as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit so that you can live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Eight, as the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit provides the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age so you can advance all the way to spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. As the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit provides the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age so you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain the objective spiritual maturity, and when you do that, that's when you please God, that's when you glorify God to the maximum. And that's why we're here. Now, we're not here for a long time on this earth, and we're just living in a tent. You're all living in a tent, and I see a bunch of different tents out there. The word there is skene. You say, skinny? No, skene. That's the word tent. And that's how God describes our human body. Our human body is a tent. That's where you're living. Right now, you're living in a tent. And one thing about tents. Tents are fun. I haven't lived in a tent. But I've done a lot of hunting and fishing. And I've had tents. I've been in tents. I like tents. But one thing about those tents, they wear out. All those tents wear out. And this tent will wear out. And when it wears out, physical death. And then guess what? You have an interim body in heaven waiting for a resurrection body at the moment of the rapture. And that's your permanent dwelling. And not only that, but you have a resurrection body that is perfect. You'll live in forever and ever and ever. And that resurrection body, God also provide for you a mansion. A mansion. And when you get in that mansion with your resurrection body, the Lord Jesus Christ will have a special wine closet for you, stocked with the best wine, his wine. Now, Randy is in heaven right now. Randy and Dodie love wine. Now Randy is in his mansion. In his mansion, God's given the Rundle Lounge. And he's in there, and Jesus Christ has stocked his wine closet with all these best wines. So the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven is go over and see Randy's mansion and sit and have a glass of wine with him. That's what I'm going to do. So both, I'm not going to ask what point are we on, because Michelle will tell me the wrong one back there. Point 9, both the sin nature and the Holy Spirit reside in the body of the believer. Both the sin nature and the Holy Spirit reside in the body of the believer. Therefore, there is a great inner conflict going on inside of each one of us, every church-age believer. There is a great inner conflict going on inside of every church-age believer as to who is going to control your soul. Are you going to turn it back over to the sin nature? Or are you going to allow God the Holy Spirit to control your soul? And this inner conflict, this inner war going on in us, is taught by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17, it says, "So I say, I declare, walk, peripateo, that is, live your life, by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and then you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other, so that you do not do what you want." That's Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So therefore, there's a great inner conflict going on inside every believer as to who is going to control your soul. Is it going to be the sin nature, or is it going to be God the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So, verse 10 again says, "In fact, if Christ is in you, first class condition, and he is the indwelling of Christ, on the one hand, the body is subject to death because of the sin nature. But on the other hand, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. Righteousness imputed to you at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ." All right, now that verse 10 brings us to a very special doctrine that we need to know. We've studied the doctrine of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Now we need to nail down the doctrine of the indwelling of Christ, The doctrine of the indwelling of Christ. Point one is the prophecy of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. Turn over to John chapter 14. The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John 14. John 14, and in this section, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and he starts out in verse 19 and says, before long, why, my voice went up there, before I just reached puberty. I'm 76 and I finally made it. There you go. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day is the church age. It began, see, it isn't the church age when Jesus Christ is alive on the earth. The church age began on Pentecost, following the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of Christ at the right hand of the Father, and then 10 days later, Pentecost. That's when the church age began, Pentecost. And it will conclude with the rapture. On that day, when the church age begins, then you will realize that I am in my Father. Three things here. I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I am in you, the indwelling of Christ. All right. Now, there's three things here, so let's note. Let's explain this. Subpoint one, the phrase, I am in my Father, is a statement declaring the deity of Jesus Christ. God is one in essence, three in personality, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is one in essence, but they have three personalities, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the very same essence, the very same attributes. So he says, when I am in my Father, it's a statement of the deity of Christ. Secondly, the phrase, and you are in me, that's a prophecy of the baptism of the Spirit in the church age at the moment of faith in Christ. That's a prophecy of the baptism of the Spirit in the church age at the moment the individual places his faith in Jesus Christ. And then three, that phrase, and I in you, that's a declaration of the indwelling of Christ, unique to this dispensation, the church age. In that day, the church age, not during the age of Israel, in that day when the church age occurs, starting at Pentecost and then through till the rapture. So the phrase, and I in you, is a declaration of the indwelling of Christ. Four, the indwelling of Jesus Christ is totally unique to the church age. Totally unique to the church age. We are living in the church age. Great time to be living in the church age. Five, the church age is the dispensation of the royal family of God. The royal family of God. We have been entered into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. In other dispensations, through regeneration, believers were family of God. But we are royal family of God because of the baptism of the Spirit unique to us, entering us into union with Christ We are royal family of God, and therefore the church age has certain unique features, which include the fact that all three members of the Trinity indwell every church age believer. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three members of the Trinity indwell every church age believer. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit indwells you, with you, every single second of every single day, always with you. I listen to some Christians and they get, I'm so lonely, I'm all alone. Are you crazy? You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in you every second of every day. That's the best of the best. What are you doing being lonely? Crap. See, that's a four-letter word, crap, but I could have used another one, but I won't use it. So Deb always asks when I get home, I'm here every day studying so that I can stand up and have something to teach you. And she always asks, did anybody stop by? I said, well, nobody stopped by, but I took three people with me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we had a great time while I was studying. Great time. And so I said, yeah, it got a little crowded sometimes, but we did great. So that's point one, the prophecy of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. Well, we'll get point two. We get all the way to point two. Whew. And then we're going to take a break and come back for the Lord's table. Point two, the verification of the indwelling of Christ is provided by Jesus Christ himself in the Lord's Prayer. This is probably the greatest prayer ever given, the Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17. So turn over to John chapter 17. You're in John 14, turn over to John 17. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, prayer to the Father. And you know what? He prayed for us. This prayer is so awesome, he's praying for us today, including us. So in John chapter 17, verse 22, I have given them the glory that you, Father, gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, the indwelling of Christ, and you in me. And then look down at verse 26. I have made you known to them. I have made you, Father, known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the virtue love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them, the indwelling of Jesus Christ. So point two is the verification of the indwelling of Christ in us in our Lord's great prayer, John chapter 17. All right, we'll take it up here next week at point three, start out at point three. We'll take a break now. Yeah, there's some wonderful refreshments out there, and then we come back, we have the Lord's table.